You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, back from vacation day, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this TGIF Friday, the 27th of June, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome everybody here at the World Headquarters, downtown Madison on State Street. Clouds in the sky. Get to weather in a bit. We have Rapine in from EPOM's World with the wild and wacky human behavior in hour two and what's worse. But right now, breaking news. Want to get to it. Lots of it today. On the federal level, the U.S. Supreme Court has made a decision on birthright citizenship and the powers of the presidency. Closer to home, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court with another ruling this morning, this time infecting the Madison area, UW Health, and its right to collectively bargain with nurses. Matt Flynn, attorney and former Democratic chair chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, will be in a minute to help us through all of that. Also, just over the wires, oh, Canada, Trump ending trade talks with our neighbors. We'll discuss that. But right now, hot news coming out of our very own state capitol, a block away. Nobody better, to discuss it. Nobody's on this more than our very own political editor here at Civic Media, also the founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, who joins us live from our studios at WRJN in Racine. Dan Schaefer, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Todd Albaugh. Always wonderful to join you here on the Todd Albaugh Show. And yeah, we've got a little bit of news to share today.
It's a Friday, and most of the time people think, well, I could just chill out. But here we have all these breaking news. We need someone to help us recombobulate, Dan Schaefer. Nobody better to do it. Lots of eyes on the state capitol. We've been talking all week on this program. The Joint Finance Committee, the Budget Writing Committee, was supposed to meet yesterday. They punted on that. They were supposed to meet at 10 o'clock this morning. They punted on that. They're saying they're going to be getting underway here at 2. Our very own news director, Charlie Pittman, is in the Capitol keeping an eye on it. But Dan Schaefer, what have you learned?
Well, I have learned that throughout, you know, as this process is continuing, we're getting up against the budget deadline. I guess Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee are going to write this budget and pass something maybe today in these meetings. But what I have learned from a Democratic source is that Republicans in the state Senate might not be able to pass the budget with just Republican votes. And because of that, they have brought Democratic Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein into negotiations on the state budget. So Dianne Hesselbein, as of yesterday, was joined the table as far as talking through the state budget. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what that might lead to, if that changes the scope and nature of the budget in any capacity. But because of the smaller margins in the Wisconsin State Senate, the smaller majorities that Republicans have in the state Senate, they can only lose one vote if they want to pass the budget with Republican only votes. And it looks like they do not have at least two of the 18 state Senate Republican state senators. So Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein has been welcomed into the negotiations here because they might need Democratic votes to pass the budget.
As legendary CBS newsman Bob Schaefer, I don't think any relation, is fond of saying, Dan Schaefer, I think you just made a little bit of news.
A little bit of news, yeah. So I think that, you know, we've heard throughout this process that Republican State Senator Steve Nass has been opposed to this budget and is probably not going to vote for it. Chris Kapinga, another Republican State Senator, has expressed some frustration with the budget, said he might not vote for it. So if they lose those two votes, they might need Democratic votes to be able to pass a budget. And that could mean a whole lot of changes on a whole lot of different things. Everything is still very much in flux. But, you know, we've been hearing for weeks that, you know, Tony Evers has been negotiating with Robin Voss, with Devin LeMahieu, the Republican leadership in the Wisconsin state legislature. It's my understanding now that Dianne Hesselbein is now part of those negotiations as well.
This is big news, Dan Schaefer. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing it with our audience and civic media wide. I have not seen this reported anywhere else, so I'm going to call it exclusive breaking news here. This is big because you understand this. Help us walk through it. As someone who used to work in the Capitol, I get it. But explain a little bit of the importance here of what this is kind of signaling, the fact that when you're in the majority, and not just a one-vote majority, to reach across the aisle and get the opposition party involved, this is not a small deal.
Not a small deal. And I do think not only does it signify that Republicans, especially in the state Senate, are not all on the same page when it comes to this budget. I think it also signifies that there's going to have to be some sort of compromise for this to pass. And I think we knew that was the case, just the nature of divided government, right? Mm-hmm. We have a Democratic governor. We have a Republican-controlled legislature. In order to get a budget that they are going to pass, there has to be some compromises. And we've seen, kind of over the course of the last few weeks, but talks have broken down. They've been come back together. And now I think the reality of what's going on in the state Senate is setting in here. And that means that they actually, for the first time in, more than 15 years, Republicans might need Democratic votes to pass a budget. And I think that could change the nature of this budget a great deal. Now, the other end of this is that it's, not a zero possibility either, is they go the other direction and try to make steeper cuts to win over some of those Republican state Senate holdouts. So I think it could go either direction. But I think the fact that Hesselbein has been brought to the table to discuss this is significant and, suggests that things are headed in a direction where there might be a little bit more of a bipartisan compromise.
Before we let you go, Dan Schaefer, I know this gets confusing to the average listener out there that's not wonky and nerdish on this stuff like you and I are. There's a lot of talk about budget deadlines self-imposed kind of at the federal level right now by Donald Trump on the federal budget for July 4th. Explain the difference in Wisconsin and what that means if they don't hit it.
Yeah, if they don't hit that budget, the deadline is Monday. So the fiscal year ends on Monday, June 30th. But if they don't hit that deadline, basically what happens is the budget that was passed 2 years ago, the other biennial budget, that just continues on those levels that were set 2 years ago. So it would just, it would be a pretty simple, move to have those continue at least for the short term before they make any long term changes to the state budget. But still, we're getting down to crunch time. Yeah. And we don't know exactly what's going to be happening at the Capitol today. They could be passing this budget in the Joint Finance Committee in the middle of the night tonight on a Friday evening before a big summer weekend. So
that'd be shocking that the legislature passes something in the darkness of night. That's never happened before, as I say facetiously.
It would be one thing to pass it now and just have a usual Friday news dump. The Wisconsin legislature always has to take things a little bit further.
Dan Schaefer, breaking news. We appreciate it. Democratic leader in the state Senate, Dianne Hesselbein, has now been invited to budget negotiations. According to Dan Schaefer's sources, this could dramatically shift the state budget talks. So we appreciate you being on. You'll be on top of this. Shelly Pittman, our news director, is on top of it as well. Really appreciate your time, Dan. Safe travels around the state.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Be well.
Always a pleasure. Dan Schaefer, you can find all of his work at www.therecombobulationarea.com. www.therecombobulationarea.com and at civicmedia.us. Dan, thank you so very much. Right now, I want to bring in another friend of the program here. He was just on yesterday. We thought there's usually a little bit of time between now and one appearance and another with my friend Matt Flynn. But this tis the season, as they say, not for Christmas decorations, but for Supreme Court decisions at both the federal and state level. Joining us from his home in Milwaukee via StreamYard, he is a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, an author, and a Navy veteran, Matt Flynn. Matt, thanks for taking time.
Good to be with you, Todd. Always like being on the Todd Olbo Show.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Let's start, if we can, Matt, with the state's Supreme Court decision here. Maybe not quite as big a surprise or far-reaching legal implications, but I think it's important nonetheless. It affects a smaller portion of Wisconsinites, particularly those living in Madison. There was a case before the Wisconsin State Supreme Court regarding the University of Wisconsin health system in Madison and their ability, responsibility to collectively bargain with nurses. This has been a big thing for Madison. The state Supreme Court essentially said today, correct me if I'm wrong, they do not have to do that because of Act 10.
Right. Let me just say a couple of things. These people are my friends in the Supreme Court, the four in the majority. That said, I think they are far too cautious in what they're doing. Give you an example. Yesterday, we talked about a redistricting of congressional seats, and they took a cautious approach. They've got to understand that Donald Trump, crooked Donald Trump, has unleashed brown shirts around the country to beat up people and kill our democracy. And we've got to make a more aggressive stand. Now, today we get this news about the Act 10 and about negotiating with nurses. Act 10 was an illegitimate piece of legislation. It's under review right now. I think ultimately it's going to be overturned. But remember what they did. They basically said the police and firefighters, very male-oriented professions, are not bound by it. But teachers, which are 80% female, are bound by it. Mm. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. And that's only one of the things that's wrong with it under our Constitution. What I would have wished they'd done would say, no, the hell with Act 10. We're not going to preliminary rule on Act 10, but we are going to mandate collective bargaining, and we will get to Act 10 and the details later. In other words, let's take a stand. Quit being so damn cautious.
Mm. According to reporting from Channel3000.com, the CBS affiliate Kyle Jones here in Madison, just to set this in context for those of you that might not know what this actually is going on here, the Service International Employees Union, SEIU, which represents the nurses, had argued to the court that the University of Wisconsin Hospitals and Clinics Authority was included in the Wisconsin Employment Peace Act. And thus what Matt was referring there, basically that it should have covered nurses as well as cops and firefighters, and thus required to collectively bargain. And the Wisconsin Employee Relations Commission in 2022 held that the Peace Act did not apply to those folks because of Act 10. In the unanimous decision today, the court sided with the hospitals, basically.
Too cautious. These are my friends. I supported them. Too cautious. There are two ways they could have done. Just simply say it is included in the Peace Act. They're the Supreme Court. But secondly, the other alternative way to rule on this thing is Act 10 is illegitimate. They're going to come around to saying that in future cases coming year. So, in other words, do a preliminary statement about it and permit collective bargaining.
A minute left here, Matt. We're going to come back and talk about this federal case. You're my friend. We have a beer together occasionally. But this one, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit respectively, because I think that until this is found Act 10 to be unconstitutional, I was in the building when this happened. I tend to agree with you. But until that, I think the current iteration of the Wisconsin Supreme Court said, look, this is the law today. We have to rule on that. And I think they made the right decision, not because I agree with the result, but because how they interpreted the law. Am I completely
right,
off
and
on
that's
that?
But the fact is that they did that with redistricting. And I'm saying this is not a normal Republican administration that we're fighting against. It's not normal at all. This is a criminal enterprise that's beating people up in the streets, and we've got to take a stand. They should have with redistricting, and they should have here.
We'll come back, talk about what's going on nationally. The U.S. Supreme Court, a big ruling on birthright citizenship. What are the implications? What are these implications that Matt alluded to? We'll talk about that with Matt Flynn on the other side. Don't go anywhere. A busy TGIF edition of the Todd Allball Across Wisconsin show across Wisconsin here on the Civic Media. Ready to.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Friday, June 27th. Busy news day. Lots of breaking news. An update now from our news director, Shally Pittman, who is at the Capitol about a block away from our downtown studios here in Madison. Shally is reporting that Joint Finance Committee, that our political editor Dan Schaefer reported at the top of the show. According to his sources, Republicans now have reached out to Democratic Senate leader Dianne Hesselbein to bring her into negotiations because they may, keyword may, need Democratic votes in the state Senate in order to pass the budget. Sholly Pittman, our news director, now reporting that the Joint Finance Committee, which had been pushed from 10 until 2, has now been pushed back to 4 o'clock. So things are not going well, apparently, to get to wrangle the votes, to whip the votes, as they say up there. Well, our new great news team will continue to update us. We'll bring you more reports as throughout the program. Right now, two-time Democratic chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, an author, a Navy veteran, Matt Flynn, joins us from his home in Milwaukee via StreamYard. Matt, good to be with you here again. We talked about the decision by the Wisconsin Supreme Court this morning. Let's talk about the big one in nationally. According to CBS News here and obviously multiple other sources, the Supreme Court this morning limited the use of nationwide injunctions, reining in federal judges' ability to issue sweeping orders that have, in recent years, stymied implementation of policies for Republican and Democratic presidential administrators alike, unquote. That's a mouthful that I think most people say, what? As the late, great Judge Weissman, federal judge from Tennessee, liked to say, Matt Flynn, help us get it down there where the chickens can get at it. This really came down to this issue of birthright citizenship. Tell us what happened and what does it mean?
Yeah, what happened in the Supreme Court is contemptible. What they've done is ratified violence and sadism on the part of Trump and the Republican Party under the guise of some legal doctrine. Let me explain real quick. First of all, normally, when a federal judge issues an injunction, it's statewide, nationwide. Mm-hmm. And so what they're saying is that's no longer going to be the case, except crooked Clarence Thomas, who has been bribed, and he's a tarantula. Clarence Thomas said, well, not necessarily in all cases. Read between the lines. Any injunction that favors Trump's policies will be binding nationwide. Anyone that isn't won't be. It'll only be binding on the litigants in that case. And so With birthright citizenship, the 14th Amendment says that there's birthright citizenship. What Donald Trump did was try to overturn that, and this court ratified it to a point. What they said is, if there's a litigant, somebody says, hey, I was born in this country, the court can give that person relief, but not nationwide. And there's 29 states that haven't attacked it, especially the red states. And you're going to see ICE, you're going to see brown shirts going through those states, beating up, kidnapping, and deporting people, ripping infants out of their mother's arms. Well, that's what's happening.
And we've already seen it. There's new video this morning of a Latino woman, I believe it was in California, selling fresh fruit at a stand in a neighborhood, and people with gator masks on and camouflage without badges or ID numbers or identifying themselves, literally just hopped out. Essentially kidnapped this woman, put her in an SUV, threw out tear gas, and took off. We love Matt. We love Matt, and these are his opinions, and he's entitled to them. But I think to get down to the facts that this came from. Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. This case came from basically what it speaks to is the ability for one federal judge to make a ruling and saying that one judge's ruling then affects an executive order by the president nationwide. The Supreme Court basically said, no, we don't think, at least the majority, the six conservatives said, no, we don't think that's true. It has to go through like a class action lawsuit. But tell us, Matt, why that's just almost a ridiculous ruling in class actions.
It's totally ridiculous. I've litigated class action lawsuits under Rule 23 of the Civil Rules of Civil Procedure. They're frequently attacked. They can be hard to establish. It would be a class of, say, all women in the United States whose children were born here, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is that there are Republican judges that have entered injunctions that have been bad. The fellow in Texas on the abortion drug, Abbott, you know, he banned it nationwide, that kind of thing, right. So, but all of these nationwide injunctions are immediately resolvable because injunctions are immediately appealable. Immediately. You don't have to wait. And you go up to the Court of Appeals. It can be overturned that afternoon, or it can go to the Supreme Court. When Donald Trump said it'll take years, he was lying. It hasn't taken years. None of them have taken years. And what they're now saying, and with Clarence Thomas with a very ominous concurrence, saying that that injunctions only bind the people in that courtroom,
or
perhaps that the state, but not beyond that.
So let me get down Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No.
Let's get down to nuts and bolts. So for those who don't know, birthright citizenship, as Matt said, guaranteed in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, says if you're born on U.S. soil, you're automatically a citizen, regardless of whether your parents are citizens or not. And so that's what Trump signed, the executive order in February, whatever it was this year, said from that day on that if you're born here and your parents aren't citizens, too bad, so sad. And so my question is, Matt, with this ruling by the Supreme Court today, is it feasible that the Trump administration in these red states that were not a part of this lawsuit, which I believe Wisconsin was part of the injunction, correct me if I'm wrong. So, but if you're not in one of these bluish states, if you're in a red state, could Trump's ICE, Homeland Security, whatever, take these kids that were born after February and deport them?
They could take infants out of their mother's arms, and that's exactly what they're doing. That's why I talk about sadism. I really mean that. What they're doing is terrifying. They have a quota of about 3,000 people. They're almost all people with brown skins. And they go around the country, they kidnap some, they beat up some. That one guy that had three sons in the Marine Corps, and he was a lawn care guy, they beat the hell out of him, held him down and beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Those people should be prosecuted for excessive force.
And when Matt Flynn talks about sadism, defined, it means getting the pleasure out of seeing someone else be harmed.
Suffer.
There is a sexual connotation, but Matt's not talking about that.
I'm not talking. That's Trump's business. That's for Trump discussion.
We'll come back more, Matt, on the other side. Stay tuned. Pam Yonke, The Farm Report's next. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on Civic Media.
There's a burning thing.
Keep it going, Zommers. We actually have, this is a live feed from the Joint Finance Committee hearing room right now. Live from the Capitol. Apparently, the state budget is going down in a ring of fire right now in the state capitol. That is what live coverage. Welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. In all seriousness, our great news team, Shally Pittman, our news director at the Capitol, reports now that the Joint Finance Committee has gone from the 10 o'clock start time to a 2 o'clock start time and now being pushed back to a 4 o'clock start time this afternoon. Zommers?
Correct me if I'm wrong. This was also rescheduled from yesterday, right?
Yes, it was also rescheduled from yesterday. Our very own Dan Schaefer, a political editor, reported at the top of the show. His sources are telling him that Republicans are now reaching across the aisle, which I actually think is a good thing, to Democratic leader Dianne Heselbein. Might have been nice to ask her at the start of the negotiations or the process instead of 3 days before the deadline. But nonetheless, it appears that Democratic votes may well be needed in order to pass the state budget. We'll continue to follow that. Also, breaking news in the state and federal Supreme Court this morning. The federal Supreme Court, in a widely anticipated decision, according to CBS News, stemming from President Trump's executive order seeking to end birthright citizenship. In other words, if you're born in U.S. soil, you're a U.S. citizen. The high court said that the universal orders likely exceeded what they call the equitable authority that Congress had granted to the federal courts. Justice Amy Comey Barrett authored the majority opinion for a 6-3 court with the liberal justices in dissent. If you'd like to weigh in on this, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app. Joining us from his home in Milwaukee, our ongoing contributor, Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, author, and Navy veteran. Matt, thanks for sticking around for just a bit more here, because I want to just dive into this. We have a text from Dana in La Crosse I'm going to get to in a minute. But again, I want to get into the, because there's a lot of words here, and I know for somebody like you who's an attorney, you understand this, and you don't need to put it in simplistic terms like Todd needs here and a lot of our listeners, because we're not attorneys. We don't follow this. For the average person in Wisconsin, tell us what this means, because I know there's a lot of people who have immigrated from other countries, and there are people who are born in Wisconsin whose parents might not be citizens. They might have come, as they say, documented with papers, but they might be on a J-1 visa. They might be on a visitor visa, a B-1 visa. They might be grad students at UW-Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay, and they have a kid here. Those kids, at least up until now, were U.S. citizens. What does this decision today mean for them?
This decision deliberately sows chaos and deliberately ratifies cruelty by the Trump administration, especially in states, 29 states, that had not contested this order. The 14th Amendment, it was passed in, I think it was 1869 or 70. It's a very, very old amendment, very old. Said that if you're born in the United States, you're an American citizen with one exception. And that is if you're subject to the authority of another country, you're not. The reason is that the English ambassador, the British ambassador in Washington, if his or she or he gives birth to a child here, they're not citizens because they're the ambassador. They're subject to the King of England. It's a very narrow exception. Trump is saying, no, it doesn't. He's not a constitutional scholar. No, it only applies to slaves back in the 1860s. And it's kaput after that. And you raise an interesting point. Could he issue another executive order under this decision going back a lot longer than February this year? In which case, he could deport Marco Rubio, Cash Patel, Mercedes Cannon, the she-wolf down in Florida, and Moreno, the Republican right-wing senator in Ohio. Get rid of them. I'd love to see that, well, but it's not going to happen.
To your point, our friend Stuart Stevens, one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project and also at Lincoln Square, tweeted out just a moment ago, said, if Trump's, this is from Stuart Stevens, quote, if Trump's world thinks birthright citizenship harms America, let's make it retroactive. The parents of J.D. Vance's wife weren't American citizens when she was born in America. Right. She's an anchor baby. Clearly, Trump and Stephen Miller and Vance believe she's a danger to America. So to protect America, their logic would have her citizenship revoked and she and her children would be deported. That makes sense.
Right.
That's from Stuart Stevens.
But hey, here's a breaker. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
In other words, what he did is he started it in February, but the cruelty is they're going up to women with infants, seriously, infants in their arms and ripping them out. The woman's crying. If the husband punches this ICE agent, he's going to be the hell beaten out of him and commit a felony. They can't protect themselves. And this is being directed basically against minority people, brown-skinned people. 3,000 a day quota. And Bondi, the Bond girl, who is the attorney general for Trump, it gave a press conference today and said, oh, we're only doing this to vicious criminals from other. That's baloney.
Yeah.
That's baloney. They beat the hell out of a lawn care guy who had punched him in the face. It is absolute cruelty. And there's an unverified so far report that they are considering recruiting Proud Boys as basically for a posse to go around and grab people themselves.
Well, there's been reports of this. We've seen this. And I haven't talked a lot about it because I haven't seen it on what you consider legacy media yet, but there seems to be, by the videos I've seen alone and some other reporting, that people reported that bounty hunters, and bounty hunting is a legit thing in America, particularly like places like Texas, where
Wisconsin.
But no, it was in like places like Texas, you could have, some Yahoo that has a, concealed carry permit. And if you round up this wanted person and bring them in, you get a fee for it. And there are reports now that Homeland Security and ICE are paying bounty hunters to bring in people of Latino ethnicity for $1,000, $1,500 a day, Matt.
Right. That is illegal in many states. And what's happened, bounty hunters before have killed people. They've gone in and the guy doesn't know who they are. The guy has a coonskin hat on and no teeth. And he goes in to arrest them. They pull out a gun. They shoot them. We cannot permit that kind of culture to set foot in America. It should be illegal. The Republican Party is terrified of Trump, and they're going along with it.
So, and I know you're legally bound. You can't give people legal advice or whatever. But as a longtime attorney who knows the law, again, let's give people, we'll call them guidelines. What would you tell your friends if if they're walking, and this is not inconceivable. We've seen it in Wisconsin already. Judge Hannah Dugan, of course, a slightly different situation, but she was arrested in her own courthouse, for goodness sake. If your average Wisconsinite who happens to be a brown-skinned person, if these people show up and don't identify themselves and have gator masks over them, what's the recourse? What should they do? What can they do?
What I would counsel is this. First of all, the fellow out in California thought he was being grabbed by a cartel. I mean, it's quite right. Seriously. And you got to defend yourself. If you reasonably believe this is going to be ICE, I would not resist physically, because they'll beat the hell out of you and charge you with a felony, and you'll have to hire a lawyer, and it'll be a long deal. But I think what you can do is give them no information. No information. If they ask you, what about you? What are you doing here? I would like to talk to my lawyer. Use that phrase, because the Supreme Court, the ones in D.C., let them ask a lot of things, but that one thing, if they bust through, they're not going to get away with it. So I want to talk to a lawyer. What's your name? You can give them the name. I want to talk to my lawyer. I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me. Not because you're a criminal, but because they're criminals, and they'll misstate what you said. I want to talk to my lawyer. I demand to talk to my lawyer. You can say that. Don't fight with them, because if it is ICE, they get pleasure out of beating the hell out of people. Trump has basically recruited two armies of violence. One is these brown shirt types that go out, but the other one was January 6th, storming the Capitol, and he keeps sending signals out to him by insulting journalists, by insulting judges, and it has the effect. Hang Mike Pence. And he grinned, and he watched them. He encouraged them to do it. He said Hillary Clinton should be taken care of by the Second Amendment people. He encourages violence.
I would be remiss, Matt Flynn, and you can speak for yourself, but I'd be remiss if I didn't separate out the discussion we're having on ICE agents from Federal Homeland Security, who, at least in my opinion, some, if not many, are going overboard. And because there's video of this, doing exactly what you're saying, beating the crap out of brown-skinned people, many of whom, there's already been research done, it's like over 60% have zero criminal record, meaning they have no violent record. And like 90% have never even had a parking ticket. So there's a big difference between federal people beating up those kind of folks and what happened in Milwaukee last night, where two Milwaukee police officers were shot, basically ambushed, and are fighting for their life, last time I heard, in the hospital. I fully support our local law enforcement folks like that. That's very different to me, Matt, than these federal ICE folks.
Totally, totally different. Listen, my uncle and my cousin served as police officers. I am 100% for the police. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about guys who are walking up to a woman in a fruit cart or a woman with a baby and roughing them up, beating this other guy. That's totally different.
Right.
The Milwaukee cops are my friends. Cops are our friends. Totally different deal.
I just want to make sure we had that on the table and make sure people know.
Very good point. Let's
go quickly to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Mark in Pernsac. Mark, 1 minute left. You can make it brief, please. Go ahead.
Well, under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, it's supposed to be Congress establishing rules for naturalization, setting aside the 14th Amendment. Also, for anybody born prior to this decision, under the same article, Section 9, that no ex post facto laws in this country. So anybody born prior to that decision is automatically an American citizen if they're born in this country. And, I mean, it's time to just tell these ICE guys to FCC non-compliant word that Trump is using all the time.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it, Matt.
Yeah, well, the thing is, there are a lot of legal objections to this, but when you have a guy like Clarence Thomas who took $4.5 million and is repaying his backers, and the rest of them, Alito, many people think he's the one that slipped out the Dobbs decision. This is not a legitimate Supreme Court. They are tarantulas.
Let's go to the text line really quick, Matt. This came from Dana a little bit earlier in the show. Dana in La Crosse, listening to WLCX, says, is there a legislative fix, either federal, state, to mitigate or reverse these terrible decisions that are being handed down today, either later or down the road after Democrats would get power back at the executive branch? Matt?
The answer is yes, and I've litigated that issue. It's stare decisis until it's overturned, like Dobbs overturned Roe v. Wade. So if a good Supreme Court gets in, a good Democrat, they can overturn all of it. Every decision It's whatever that new Supreme Court says.
Very quickly, Jada Madison, WMDX, won't Trump just try to use this decision to strip citizenship from anyone he considers an enemy? Matt, 30 seconds.
The answer is yes, and Clarence Thomas gave the, in the concurring opinion, Clarence Thomas said, well, not every injunction is limited, and what he was talking about is pro-Trump injunctions will not be limited.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. Come on back. Matt in Richland Center has a text from Matt Flynn. So Matt to Matt on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday, June 27th, 2025. Stay with us across Wisconsin on the Civic Media. Ready to.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock. At the top of the hour, news, weather, and sports, followed by what's worse in hour number two. We should ask Matt Flynn. He's an attorney. What's worse, renting or owning? Whether it's a property or a piece of equipment, any thoughts on that, Matt? What's worse?
Yeah, it depends on what area of the country you're in and how often you use the equipment, if that's what you're having. I mean, in general, the problem with owning is that you have an awful lot of ownership obligations and repair and maintenance. On the other hand, if that area is going to appreciate in value, terrific. But otherwise, it's frequently easiest just to rent.
Look at that. An unexpected answer from Matt Flynn to kick us off. I love it. We'll ask you all in hour number two, what's worse, renting or owning? And then Peter Rapine from EPOM's World will be here at the bottom of the hour with news, as Johnny Carson used to say, of the weird, wild, and wacky. Wacky. I did not know that. It'll be the Week in Review with Peter Rapine. Right now, Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Democratic Party Wisconsin, an attorney, author, and Navy vet with us, talking about this decision from the U.S. Supreme Court on birthright citizenship. Matt, right before the break, we had Matt in Richland Center, one of our great UPS drivers, listening on his route. Matt Flynn, Matt in Richland Center on WRCE, asks, does this now set a precedent where anytime a lower federal court makes a ruling Trump doesn't like, the Supreme Court can say it can't make that ruling? I thought birthright citizenship was pretty clear in the Constitution. Matt Flynn?
Right. It is clear in the Constitution, Matt. And one of the things that I'm concerned about is that Pam Bondi, in her press conference, said the court is going to decide it in October. Not clear to me how she knew that. But if it is going to decide it in October, if it buys into Trump's theory that's contrary to the 14th Amendment, it's going to take a future Supreme Court to clean that up. But to your point, yeah, absolutely. In other words, and Clarence Thomas signaled this in his concurrence. In other words, if it's a pro-Trump decision, great. You know, seashells and balloons and everybody is happy around the country. But if it's not a pro-Trump decision, it's narrowly confined to just that plaintiff. And the fallacy of all this, Trump this morning said it takes years to undo a bad one. That's false. Yeah. An injunction is immediately appealable under the law, can be overturned that evening by the Court of Appeals, and it can be overturned the next day by the U.S. Supreme Court, and frequently is in big cases.
Jim in Campbellsport, listening in. Jim, we appreciate that. Says, Todd, Matt, shouldn't Donald Trump's kids be deported? Well, that's kind of the point, well, right? I mean, we only certainly half jest, but I mean, if you're going to follow it to the law.
You could deport Melania. You could deport J.D. Vance's wife and kids. You could deport Marco Rubio, Cash Patel,
Ted
Moreno,
Cruz.
Ted Cruz, Mercedes Cannon, the she-wolf in Florida. You could deport them all. I'd like to see that, quite frankly. It ain't going to happen, okay? It ain't going to happen. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here, if you're loyal to Trump, great. And if you're not, especially if you're not white, deport is 3,000 a day if you can.
Connie, listening on WMDX in Madison, asks Matt, if Trump doesn't want children born in the U.S. to be citizens, what about his own kids? So kind of the same line there. This is a great one. Matt, you're a good Catholic, represented the Catholic diocese in court. Mark in Pertisac says Pope Leo should excommunicate the Gang of Six on the Supreme Court.
I also represent the Episcopal Church and the Mormon Church. So okay. I have an eclectic knowledge about all this stuff. But I mean, that's a funny line. But look, the point of the matter is we have separation of church and state. We don't want to get into all that. However, is very hypocritical what they're doing, which is they're singling out some people. Basically, 3,000 people a day is the quota. Do you really, how many white people do you think are going to get picked up in that?
Zero.
You know, almost zero.
And there's a lot of undocumented white people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, they just overstay visas. Elon Musk, by the way, was illegal. When he came in, he was given a visa specifically to go to Stanford. This is when he was a student. He blew it off.
Right.
And after that happens, you can't cure that yourself. You have to, I mean, they're not going to deport Elon Musk.
No. And now, and Stephen Miller, the guy who's running point on all this terrible immigration policy stuff for Trump, he's salty at Elon Musk because Musk just told his wife. That's real, you know?
Yeah, that's nasty. That's,
right?
That's nasty.
I mean,
geez. You know, we want to dig too deep on that. But I mean, the point is that if you took a look at the Republican hierarchy and you did an MRI of their private lives, and make the hair on a monkey's back stand straight on end.
Yeah.
Straight
no, it's,
on
it's, again, one of these hypocritical things by my former party where they want to live their lives one way, but they don't want to offer those same traditional American opportunities for other people.
Well, they're corrupting our democracy, and it all goes back. Trump is frightened of Putin. He's servile to Putin. He's afraid Putin will release the Steele video. So he gives them anything he wants, betrays Ukraine, betrays NATO, and then he replicates a lot of Putin-esque government in this country. And everybody goes, okay. What do you mean, okay?
Right.
What's happened to the eunuchs of the Second Reich? The second Trump term, the Republican senators.
Matt Flynn, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, I'm writing my next book, but I want to flog my most recent one that's coming out in about a week, American Dawn. Very, very different, very hard-hitting, and I won't say much more, but it shows a side of the Republican Party and even the Democratic Party that most people don't know about.
I heard the word salacious mentioned.
Well, it's scandalous.
Oh, scandalous.
It's quite scandalous.
Not salacious.
But you're
scandalous.
You're too innocent to read this book, okay?
I'm too innocent to read
Don't read the book. Everybody that's listening to this, do not read American Dawn.
You're the only author I've ever heard that said, don't read my book.
Don't read it. It's scandalous. It will scandalize people.
Matt, we appreciate you being with us 2 days in a row. I love your ability to take these things, make the things that I don't always get legally, and put them into real terms. That means a lot to me. So I know our listeners and viewers like it as well. So thank you very much for being with us, Matt. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Good to be with you. Same to you.
Always a pleasure, Matt Flynn. Coming up next, what's worse, renting or owning? Your chance to phone in and Peter Rapine with a week in review. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media. Ready to...
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.